All right, we're back with the Smack, WrestlingGuys.com's official radio internet show. This is Phil Varlese. I've got a special guest on the line with me right now, former ECW and WCW star, Kid Cash. And Kid, what's going on? Welcome to the show.
How's it going?
I'm going real good, man. How about you?
Pretty good.
All right. Hey, let's, I know you've been doing this a million times over the last couple of months. Everybody's on the circuit right now, but I want to kind of get a little bit of information out there for the people who don't frequent the net, for the radio, and get an idea of what's going on in the business. You've been working at this for a long time. I mean, you're very young, but you've actually got, almost 12 years in the business now, right?
Yeah, 12 years.
Wow, man. How'd you get your start?
October will be 12 years.
Good God. How'd you get started?
I started off in, like, martial arts and shoot fighting and stuff.
Okay.
When I was probably about 10 years old, my dad was a boxer throughout the Navy, and then he went kind of pro for about 3 or 4 years, you know, and then he got out of that, so I was basically his little punching bag for a couple of good years, you know, so that toughened me up, and then I just started taking martial arts, Aikido and Kundo and stuff like that, and then I just wanted to advance into some grappling. So when I was about 15, I started grappling and doing other things, you know, and then just eventually met some people who were pro wrestlers in the gym one day, and they talked me into coming to one of their shows. So I showed up, and we just happened to fall right into it that night, you know.
Yeah, I heard you just kind of like walked in, and the promoter asked you, he's going to have you just kind of do like a run-in, right, for about $50, and I think Ricky Morton was there, if I'm not mistaken, right?
The first show. That was the only reason why I went, too, because I really wasn't interested in being a wrestler. I was really into the shoot fighting and stuff, and plus, on the side, I was doing a lot of bodybuilding at the time, you know.
Okay.
Keeping in shape, and on that card, there was, like, the Road Warrior Hulk, Tim Horner, Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson, Greg Valentine, Wahoo McDaniels, Ivan Koloff, and, you know, it was just so many guys.
It's a hell of a show.
Yeah, Greg Valentine didn't show up. So the guy that, you know, I was working out at the gym, he kept coming to the gym, and he said, "My God, you look like Owen Hart's face, and you got a Brian Pillman body." So he was like, "You ever consider wrestling?" I was like, "Nah, you know. Not really, you know, because, you know, back then I was like, well, that's that fake stuff, you know, I like the real, you know, stuff, you know, so he kind of talked me into just coming to watch him, you know, so I came down and I was like marking out, I was like, wow, there's Ricky Morton and there's the Road Warriors, you know, all that stuff, so the guy walked up to me and he said, "Listen," he goes, "you don't have to do anything, just stand there." One of the guys didn't show up, Greg Valentine, he said, "And I need somebody to be a tag team partner for one of my local boys."
Okay.
Well, basically, you know, I was just supposed to stand there in the turnbuckle, and that was it. But the guy tagged me. So when I got in, you know, I didn't really know what else to do other than, you know, what I'd seen on TV, you know.
Right.
So nobody clued me in that, this, you know, that it was a work, you know. Got in there, and I was shooting on everybody.
I love it.
And just started wrapping people up, and, you know, and... You know, before the match even started, I mean, before the show even started, you know, I got up in the ring and messed around a little bit. And the first move that I ever did was a Frankensteiner.
Unbelievable.
And the guy was just like, "Just stand there, you know, you won't even get tagged." So while I was in the match, you know, I told the guys, like, "You know, can you do a Frankensteiner?" And he's like, "Yeah, let's do it." So I did what I did, you know, before, you know, the show started. And it kind of panned out to be pretty good because Ricky Morton and Tim Horner watched it.
Yeah.
And when I got in the back, I mean, they pegged me right off the bat, you know. They was like, "You can't, you know, you're not a good, you know, pro wrestler," he said, "but you got talent, you know. You need to be refined a little bit." And it's like from that day on, I just started, every weekend after that, I was driving from Virginia to Morristown, Tennessee.
So your experience really came in the ring. You developed your talent rather than going to formal wrestling training. You kind of trained in the ring kind of as you went along, right?
Yeah. Well, but, you know, as a pro wrestler?
Yeah.
As a pro wrestler, I trained basically in the backseat of the car. Because that's all I did. I mean, I would go from, you know, Waynesboro, Virginia, it's like 5 hours, you know, down to Morristown, you know?
Yeah.
So I would hook up with Tim Horner and Ricky Morton. I would ride with them to shows. And then the whole time that I'm there, you know, the only thing they did was just talk to me. They told me this and told me that. And then it's like whenever I got to the show, they would make me sit there at the gimmick table, and I had to watch every move. I watched Tim. They made me watch Tim because of his, you know, light heavyweight kind of moves, you know. psychology, and then they made me watch Ricky for his selling and his storytelling.
Well, for all you younger fans out there who don't recognize those names, Tim Horner was a fabulous wrestler from predominantly the 1980s, right, kid? And excellent technical wrestler. And again, Ricky Morton, Rock and Roll Express, one of the greatest all-time tag teams. Those guys did it better than anybody else back at that time, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, even then I never thought about being a wrestler, but I always loved to watch it. And Ricky Morton and, you know, Tim Horner, believe it or not, were like one of the two guys that stood out in my mind, you know, because I just liked their way of, you know, wrestling and stuff.
Yeah.
So it really panned out pretty good because I couldn't believe I hooked up with them the first night, you know.
Yeah. Now, you worked the indie circuit for a little while, but I heard, is it true that Rob Van Dam was instrumental in bringing you over the first time into ECW?
Yes. I met Rob, well, see, the first year in the business, like I said, I mean, I did some indie shows, and, you know, I just rode around the country with Ricky and Robert.
Right.
And Tim Horner, and, you know, slowly but surely, I started getting matches booked on these cards and stuff like that with them, or, you know, they would talk to promoter and accuse me that night. So after about 2 years in the business, I started, like, really getting better.
Okay.
And I did a show for a guy named Greg Price, and Rob Van Dam was on the show, you know, so we kind of like just hit it off, you know. We were just, you know, two long-haired guys, you know, and just chilling out, you know, and he was easy to talk to, and he understood, you know, because he took martial arts too, you know.
Sure.
So we, you know, we kind of hung out, and then I've seen him more and more on the shows, but each year I'd seen him, I'd been gotten better, you know.
Yeah.
So one night he was like, look, you know, I don't know why you're wasting your time on these indies, you know, why aren't you in, you know, the bigger organizations like ECW and WWF? And he's, you know, and it's like, well, nobody's called. And, but he smarted me up. He's like, well, it doesn't come to you. You know, you got to go get it.
Absolutely.
So I went home, and that following week I was staying up late, and we had down here in Tennessee. I didn't already move to Tennessee by then, you know. And I was watching TV one night, and it was when they had the syndicated show.
Right.
And I saw it, and I was like, wow, okay. Doesn't look too bad, you know, and I was my style, you know.
Oh yeah,
that's what I thought. So I called Rob, and I was like, hey man, I was like, I just checked the show out and you guys look great, I love it. And he goes, we're in Philadelphia tomorrow. And I was like, really? Okay. So this was at 1 o'clock in the morning, and by about 3 or 3:30 that morning I was already packed up and driving to Philadelphia. I got to Philadelphia, hooked up with Rob, and we hung out all day. And so at that time, I was tag teaming with Ricky Morton.
Okay.
And
you were the new Rock and Roll Express, right?
Rock and Roll Express. You know, we'd been going to, you know, Puerto Rico and, you know, just different places around the country and stuff, doing indies, you know.
Sure.
So Paul had already heard about me and knew who I was. I was David Jericho back then. And so he introduced me to Paul, and Paul was like, hey, David Jericho, how you doing? How's Ricky Morton? Like, he's fine, you know. And then he's like, you got your ear? And I was like, of course. And he was like, you're on in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, they didn't have the money that they had at the time when I went back the second time, you know. So I ran with them for probably about 6 months. And then they just didn't have the money to be booking every, you know, people from Tennessee, you know.
Sure.
And so I just kind of took a little time out with them. And then I wound up going to WWF for about, I don't know, I was probably there about 5 or 6 shots.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. You wrestled under the name David Jericho there, right, for about 7 or 8 matches, I think?
Yeah, I was David Jericho for, like, God, 9 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was David Jericho before Chris Jericho even came out, you know.
That's right. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, it is. It's just, it is the truth. I mean,
now, who'd you put over back then? Because I'm trying to think back in my mind, because I don't know if I saw you, like, doing any house shows or anything like that in this area.
I went through Jim Cornette.
Okay.
I was going to go to work for Smoky Mountain Wrestling. But about that time, he left and went to WWF.
Right.
And he left the company to, like, you know, Buddy Landell and a couple of other people, Dirty White Boy, you know, who were more out to keep putting themselves over than bringing new talent, you know.
Sure.
So, you know, I talked to Jim, and Ricky Morton talked to Jim Cornette, and I sent him a tape of me working. And I didn't even get a dark match. They called me up and called me to Richmond, Virginia. So I showed up in Richmond, Virginia. They got out of the limo. They had been watching my tape on the way from the airport to the building, and they liked it so much they gave me a television title, I mean a light heavyweight title match right there with Taka that night.
There you go.
And we did such a good job that they just kept calling me back.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. So you went back and you did your second stint with ECW, but let's go back and talk about it. You actually did the November to Remember. You made your debut, and I think you were supposed to be working Stevie Richards one night, and that was the night that the Blue World Order made their debut, if I'm not mistaken. So you kind of got overshadowed by them, but...
No, actually, that helped me out more than anything.
Yeah.
You know, because it was funny because, you know, I mean, I'd already done some TV for them, right?
Yeah.
They had their first November to Remember, and... You know, and they tried to really pump this blue. The Blue World Order was just like a, you know, it was a comic gimmick, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And, well, what had happened is me and Stevie had such a good match that, you know, that they had a hard time after that keeping it as a, you know, as a comedy act, you know?
Yeah, it was. And you know what the funny thing is? If you look at those guys and where they've gone, obviously Nova's turned into a tremendous wrestler, and the Blue guy's picked up an awful lot, especially in the last year or so. He's trimmed down, looks good, and Stevie is just Stevie. He's always been a great worker.
Great worker.
You know. But yeah, you're right. It started as a comedy gimmick, and if I'm not mistaken, I think Al Snow had actually come up with that gimmick for those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But... you know, you've got a reputation in the business for being like a real tough worker, a guy who, you know, you can work with a variety of injuries and stuff like that. That, you know, obviously you've accumulated a lot of them over the years and stuff. Tell the fans like some of the things that that you've worked with. I mean, you're like a walking hospital man. I was looking at your bio and Jesus, you're like a bionic man.
My first real match with a real name.
Okay.
Bobby McDaniels, and I was still green, and he was in a bad mood. Didn't feel like messing with me, so he got me in the spinning toe hold and broke my ankle, and that was my first injury. And you know, back in the dressing room, that's when it really gave me a good kick in the ass. You know,
ain't that the
truth? Pissed me off because I mean I was a tough guy to begin with.
Yeah.
You know from all the shoot fighting and you know the martial arts and stuff like that, the boxing. You know, I did a little bit of everything. I've always been a sports kind of a person. You know.
Yeah.
And it just really it I wasn't in awe about what being with Wiley McDaniels, you know?
Yeah.
So I was more pissed that he just treated me like that. So he walks in the dressing room and he looks at me and says, if you can come back from that kid, I'll give you some respect. And I told him, I said, I don't give a damn if you ever respect me or not, you know?
Wow.
So I went back home, and about 3 weeks later, you know, I've always done my own rehab, you know, even when I broke my legs, you know,
yeah.
I've broken both my legs a couple times, you know. I've always done all my own rehab, you know, going to the gym and working them out and, you know, stuff. And then I came back and I wound up wrestling him again about 6 months later. And, you know, we had a totally different match, you know, because I started, while I was out, you know, I just got on the tape brigade, you know. I just started watching nothing but Japanese tapes, Mexican tapes, Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson, Rock and Roll Express back in the NWA.
Yeah.
So I decided right then and there I'm going to be what I call a universal wrestler. I could wrestle Ric Flair tonight if I have to and then tear the house down. The next night, if I had to wrestle Tajiri, we could have a good match, you know?
Yeah. And you know what? That's the great thing about you. When Paul used you in ECW, I mean, you worked up against a whole variety of people. You worked from some of the cruiserweight guys all the way up to Sally Graziano.
Yeah.
You know, and you were successful in all of it. Now, you got your... I guess the recognition that you deserved when you beat Rhino for the TV title. How did it feel to you know, finally get a title like that?
Oh, it felt great, you know. But, you know, this is just me. I mean, I've never been a mark for belts. It's all about money.
Sure.
Me, you know, it's like I want to be one of the best wrestlers out there.
Yeah.
And I want a good reputation. It doesn't matter to me if I'm ever the heavyweight champion of the world, you know, because that ain't nothing but extra weight in your bag carrying it through the airport, you know.
I hear you.
It's actually a hassle.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you know, winning the belt was prestigious to me but it meant more to me that Paul had that much faith in me.
Yeah.
And liked me that much. That's what meant more to me than anything.
Sure. Now, kid, you guys, you know, I've heard rumors on the net, of course, that you and Paul had, like, a, you know, a good-bad relationship. I heard there was some heat and stuff like that. Do me a favor, and I'm sure you've been asked this a million times. I don't know, but can you elaborate? I mean, you know, you guys, for the most part, I mean, got along. Am I correct?
Oh, I loved Paul. I still do to this day.
Yeah.
Oh, and, well, you know, this is the whole thing. The company was coming to, you know, winding down and stuff like that, you know, and I had a contract, and, you know, I mean, throughout the whole time that I was there, I just, you know, there was no heat on my part, you know, I was just kind of confused.
Yeah.
You know? I'm sitting there thinking, well, you know, I don't understand, you know, I mean, I got a contract, why am I not getting paid, you know?
Yeah.
And I had come to find out, you know, certain people, you know, they might have not been getting paid everything, but they were at least getting something.
Exactly.
And a lot of us wasn't, you know. And I was, you know, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I kind of got a little upset. I mean, I worked for this man. I mean, the first year, I drove to every single town from Tennessee to Chicago to, you know, you name it, where to Louisiana, Baton Rouge, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Jacksonville, Florida, hell, even down to Daytona, all these other places, you know. I just felt like I'd paid my dues, you know, for that company. I've broken my jaw.
Absolutely.
They had me and Nova wrestling the Dubs.
Yeah.
And, I mean, great guys, but they were really green, you know, and they were so jacked up with the crowd and trying to get their shit over that they didn't realize that they were, you know, hurting us.
Yeah.
You know, they were just throwing us down. I mean, I had a lot of injuries with just those two guys, you know. And then to come to, you know, I get my first pay-per-view chance, and what happens? You know, these dumbasses come in the ring, and they were only supposed to do a run-in, you know, like kick, punch, that was it, you know? But now, all of a sudden, they wanted to, you know, didn't even tell me about it, you know, just pick me up, slam me, and tell me to lay there, and this 300-pound man jumps off and does a frog splash, lands on my face.
Oh.
He breaks my jaw, you know? But, I mean, we still finished the match.
Yeah.
You know, when I got up and went back and back, and, you know, I was pissed. I mean, because I'd complained before, you know, but not really complained. I was just saying, would somebody please talk to these guys and tell them that they don't have to get so worked up?
Absolutely.
I mean, we're out here trying to help each other out. You know, it's hard for me to help them look good if you're not going to work with me, you know?
Yeah. Kid, we've had a couple of guys on the show that worked for Paul and felt, and not to be specific, but they kind of felt that towards the end he really kept them in the dark. And,
yeah,
you know, although he made it a point of securing himself in the World Wrestling Federation, he's only taken, you know, his core group of guys with him, and he hasn't really done anything to bring some of the other guys into the Fed.
Well, that all takes time, you know. I mean, God Almighty, I mean, you got to look at it like this, though. I mean, please don't throw the heat on Paul. I mean, you know.
No, I'm just telling what the other guys said when they were on the air.
Well, you know, the end of the days of ECW, I mean, nobody knew anything. Paul was doing his best, you know? I mean, you got to understand something. He wasn't even coming to the shows.
Sure.
He was spending all his time in L.A. and talking to USA and then Fox and all these people trying to get a TV deal going, you know? Because we got really majorly, a lot of people don't understand, TNN ripped us apart. You know, they had all these promises and stuff, and then, you know, with production and lighting crews and all this other stuff, and they didn't, you know, fulfill their end of the bargain, you know?
Absolutely, and if you look at the bankruptcy papers, one of the things that's listed in there is that TNN actually turned around and tried billing ECW for, like, the production costs.
Exactly, yeah, they did the production. They were supposed to do the production.
Exactly.
You know? And then, you know, the lighting and the rigs, you know how much all that stuff costs?
Oh, yeah, they don't give that stuff away, man.
Spending $100,000 a month in lighting rigs, you know, and TV camera crews and stuff like that. And see, TNN was supposed to be paying for that stuff.
Exactly.
You know, and we were, I mean, well, we wasn't, you know, ECW was putting the bill out. No wonder we didn't have any money, you
Absolutely.
Know? So, you know, in the end, it wasn't Paul's fault about keeping anybody in the dark. He just simply didn't know what was going to happen to his own self.
Absolutely.
Oh, and what had happened was, I mean, you know, I, you know, like right after I broke my jaw, you know, I mean, the very next, the day I went straight to the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And I told him, don't take me off the card. If you do, I won't come back. I've never done a pay-per-view. It's my first one. And I can work. I've worked with broken legs. I've worked with broken shoulders and noses. I mean, this y'all ain't nothing.
And you worked your ass off at that pay-per-view. Everybody talked about it after.
I mean, you know, I didn't stay in the ring very long, you know.
That's all right.
But, I, you know, hell, I did a 20-foot dive.
Absolutely.
And I had a 300-pound man to catch me, and he missed me.
Yeah.
That big Dick Hurts and stuff, or whatever they called him.
Yeah.
No, I mean, so the thing about it was, I mean, there, I didn't have any heat with Paul. I was just wondering, you know, and I was like, you know, I was even in the dressing room saying, come on, guys, you know, stick it out, come on. But then he came to us one night, and he was like, you know, if you can't hold out, I understand, you know, I'll help you get work and this and that. You know, you're free to explore other options.
Sure.
And I took it for that. And, you know, I didn't know at the time I was supposed to report to him. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
And so, I mean, you know, WCW had called me a couple of times, and, you know, and I was curious, you know. I was very happy where I was at.
Sure.
But I was just curious, you know. I was like, well, you know, let's see what you got to offer.
So how did it feel to make the move after being with ECW, you know, on and off for so long?
I'm sorry?
How did it feel to make the move over to WCW after being with, you know, with Paul for as long as you were?
I like it. I mean, being honest with you, I didn't want to go.
Yeah.
I wanted ECW. I would give anything in the world right now if ECW was still running. You'll never, ever, and I probably never will myself, will ever be part of one of the best dressing rooms you'll ever see in the business.
Yeah. We had Nova on a couple of weeks ago, and that's one of the things he said. You know, he said, the locker room is so great. He said, and the atmosphere is so good that if Paul called me tomorrow and said, look, I'm doing a show, but I don't think I could pay you, he says, I think I would still show up.
I would, too.
That's amazing.
I would, too. I don't care if he, you know, if it was at the Hammerstein Ballroom. I mean, he said, look, I can't pay you or fly you in. I would get in my car and go.
Unbelievable. That's the kind of atmosphere that he runs. So for all the people out there that still want to bash Paul Heyman, you know, I got to tell you, I mean, if you listen to the workers and stuff.
Heyman, they can kiss my ass. You know what? All these people bashing Paul Heyman?
Yeah.
That's the shit that got started with saying that him and I had hate with each other.
Yeah. What do you think of the internet? I mean, you know, you got a website out there. It's a really well-done website, and we'll get to that. But what do you think of the internet overall?
I hate it.
Okay.
I don't even get on the internet. I check my, you know, my website, you know, and I look at the message board to see if, you know, people writing in, and every now and then, you know, I'll write a message or two, you know.
Yeah.
And the only really thing I like about I love my website, you know, but the only thing I like about getting on the computer is just checking the message board that's on my website.
Yeah.
I mean, the news board. You know, I just like keeping up with what's going on and stuff, but other than that, I don't even get on it.
Is your problem with the net specifically, like, the fact that everything gets misinterpreted and there's a lot of bad information out there?
Everybody, no, it's not misinterpreted. They're just plain flat-out lying.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a country boy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, things are either black or white, man.
I'm a country boy. I'm an honest person. My problem is I'm too straight up and people can't handle it. You know, I mean, if you don't want an honest answer, then the best thing to do is just don't ask me.
I hear you.
Because I wasn't brought up that way. I mean, even Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson, Ric Flair, all these guys that I've known in the past. I mean, dude, I've wrestled, you know, the Bushwhackers. I've wrestled, you know, Jake the Snake Roberts, Dirty White Boy, you know, Tracy yeah. Smothers. I've wrestled all the old-timers, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And that's where I came into business. If times have changed now and people want you to just kiss ass and keep your mouth shut, I'm not, then I need to quit. Because, I mean, dude, I'm not going to let anybody run over me.
Yeah, no, brother, we don't want you to quit. That's the whole thing, you know. Let me ask you, what's it like being back on the indie circuit again, you know, after being out there in the big arenas and stuff? Obviously, it's not really a change for you because you'd been doing that right along, but do you still feel real comfortable out there, you know, in the smaller crowds?
Well, you know, the only thing that I miss is just working with people who can work.
Yeah.
You know, that's the hard thing. Whenever I was tag teaming with Ricky on the indies,
yeah.
You know, we were like a special attraction for that show.
Sure.
So we would wrestle people, like I said, the Bushwhackers or the Fantastics or, you know, somebody of that nature.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, Ricky's back doing his thing and I'm doing my thing. And, you know, I don't know if you know, but there's like people nowadays, you can look in a wrestling magazine, order a pair of boots and a trunks and call yourself a wrestler now.
Absolutely. That's scary.
In their life. And if they are being trained, they're being trained by people who don't even know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
And especially down this way. I don't know about up north or anything like that, you know. I don't really get up there too often, you know, but down here, it's just insane. I mean, you got all these guys with these crazy gimmicks. I was on a show this past weekend, and I watched probably four guys do every single move that I've done in ECW. You know? And I told the promoter, I was like, well, go ahead and pay me, and I'll just go to the hotel room.
Yeah.
And he's like, for what? And I was like, what do you want me to do? You know? Yeah. I went out, you know, I sat there and watched, and everybody in this dressing room has done every single thing that I do. So, I mean, I have nothing else to do.
I know what you mean. And you know what? Same thing is true up here, man. There's, you know, you can go 10 miles and find five wrestling schools up here, and it's guys that have, you know, worked maybe for 3 years in the business.
I think they're great workers.
Yeah. They open up a school, you know what I mean? Take $2,000 from a kid, throw a pair of trunks on him, a pair of boots, and they call him a wrestler.
Exactly. Big thing down here, I mean, I know a certain group of guys down here, you know, they have never been trained one day in their life. I remember before I even moved to Tennessee, right? I remember coming here and seeing these people on the front row being fans.
Right.
You know? And then whenever I leave for, you know, WWF and ECW and all these other places, when I come back doing the indies, these people are running shows and training people. You know what I'm saying?
That's a scary thought.
They've never even been trained their own selves. And what's really killing me is all this hardcore bullshit that's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody and their brother is a hardcore wrestler now. You know, and if you watch them do it, they do it like the total shits. I mean, they suck at it, you know.
Absolutely.
They want to throw a chair, but they don't want to lay it in, you know.
Exactly. I just saw a show this past weekend where a guy got cracked with the wrong side. I mean, you can't, you know, you can't have that stuff going on. It gives the business a bad name, and it hurts a lot of guys.
I'm watching these shows down here. People are having hardcore matches the very first match. The people are bleeding all over the place. They're taking their matches, you know, for the first match, it can go over 5 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And these people are having 30-minute matches the first damn match.
Unbelievable. Let's move on to a different topic, because we can go on all day about that, man. Let's talk about your website first off. I mean, I know you don't like the internet much, but you got a kicking website. You got a great webmaster. Vivian's fabulous. Right. Tell them a little bit about it.
Well, you know, there's just a bunch of stuff about me. She puts it all together, man. She is like a wonderful web mistress, and she's like a really great wrestling fan too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she gets in depth. I mean, she checks all the latest news and puts it on my web, you know, on the I guess the news board. And,
yeah.
You know, she keeps up with everything. I mean, she's just great.
There's something really cool about having a web mistress too, instead of a webmaster. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, now, and she tries hard.
Yeah.
She keeps it. She keeps it updated. I had another one. It was KickAssTripod.com.
Right.
And you know, the girl did a good job and everything, but you know, she couldn't touch what Vivian's been doing.
What's this with having all women as web mistresses, man? You know.
No, I don't know, man. Just meet them at the show and they say, guess what, I've got a tribute site about you, you know, and I'm like, oh, really, you know, and then it's like I look at it and it's like, you know, it looks pretty good.
I'm loving that, man.
You know, email me and say, what'd you think, and I tell them, you know, it looked great or it sucked, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But hers is like, you know, really great.
Oh, it is. It's slamming. Now, you also recently did, and I want to talk with the fans about this too, because it's great. You did it's about a 2.5-hour shoot interview, right?
Which one?
The one with from High Spots.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, the net again gives you the reputation that you've been a difficult person to work with and all that crap. But, you know, bottom line is that Kid Cash got a lot of experience in this business, and he's very open and upfront. And he just, we talked about this before, but, you know, if you want to know a lot more about Kid Cash, this is a great video. It's only $15. You can buy it from highspots.com. And that was a little time in the making. I mean, those guys sat down and spent some time with y'all, right?
Yeah, well, I drove all the way to Charlotte to do that one.
Yeah.
I did another one up in Queens. It's out now, too, I think.
Okay, and that's available, too. Now, I know you got your book somewhere nearby, man. Let all the fans know where they're going to be able to catch Kid Cash on the indie circuit next.
Well,
now, I'm putting you on the spot now, bro.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, while you're looking that up, let me ask you a question. I mean, I'm sure that people are waiting to see who you're going to sign with. Have you heard anything from the, you know, from either WWF or the new WCW?
I've heard, you know, a couple of things from the WWF. See, this is the whole thing. It comes down to, like, the internet, right?
Right.
The internet, And what it all boiled down to, see, Paul and I don't have heat. Okay?
Gotcha.
And what it is like somebody who's like on the, you know, one of those websites and stuff, you know?
Okay.
They go to the shows and then they report and stuff like that. Well, just because these guys are marks, you know, get in the back and they're writing on their little computers and stuff like that, just because you don't treat them like they're like a really good friend to you,
yeah,
then you got an attitude.
I hear you.
Man, I go to WCW and the thing about it, and this was the whole thing, I couldn't get my release.
Gotcha.
Okay? And it wasn't because Paul didn't want to give it to me, it was because he was busy, right?
Okay.
And for me to even get a tryout or even talk money with these guys, you have to have a release.
Absolutely, and they went through that with Sabu, too.
Yeah, and plus, you know, they got burned a couple times, you know, so they was definitely going to want to see it in writing.
Sure.
Well, I mean, it's a patience thing, you know, you just got to have patience and wait it out. So that's what I did, and finally I got it, you know, and of course I might have bugged Paul a little bit, but, you know, hell, I wasn't making any money. It had been so long since we had gotten a check, I mean, I had to make some money, and nobody would hire me or even work me because they was afraid, you know, Paul was going to sue them or somebody, you know.
For breach of contract.
Right, exactly. So I finally got the release and, you know, and I got down there and they, you know, the office liked me and everything, but they wanted to test me first, you know, because I wasn't putting over one of the internet guys who write on the damn internet just because I don't put them over. I mean, you know, like, hey, buddy, how you doing? You know, what's up? And kissing their ass. I mean, I'm a quiet person. Anybody who knows me knows that whenever I'm around and I'm sitting around, I don't talk. Not because I'm an asshole, it's just that, you know, I'm a quiet person. You know, and I don't humor people, you know?
I hear you.
If you're a goof, I'll tell you you're a goof and get away from me, you know? I mean,
well,
one of those things, you know? I mean, because nobody ever pulled punches with me.
Yeah.
You know? Nobody has ever. I mean, if Ricky Morton thought I was a dumbass, he would tell me.
Absolutely. I got to tell you, I've been doing this for a little over 3 years now, and it never ceases to amaze me how many idiots there are out there, especially on the internet.
And then they get on the internet and bash you saying that somebody else said it.
Absolutely.
You know? I mean, I talked to Tommy Dreamer. I talked to Nova. You know, Spike, I was sitting in the airport just the other day with Spike Dudley.
Yeah.
You know, and I asked Spike, I was like, Spike, do you know, do I have heat with Paul? I mean, because I haven't had a chance to talk to Paul.
Right.
And, you know, and he was like, absolutely not. Don't worry about that, you know, and this and that. And I was like, well, I was just wondering, you know. And he was like, no, don't worry about it. And he goes, it's just right now everything's taking time. You know, the reason I haven't been hired for WWF is, my God, look how many light heavyweights there are in WCW, for one, that they kept. Look at the light heavyweights that they had in WWF, not to mention the ones on developmental.
Correct.
I mean, my God, dude, I mean, they had so many people, of course, they're going to have to weed them out, you know?
Sure. There's only so much room.
Yeah, and plus there's other places that I do work, and there's other places that, you know, are offering me work, you know? Hulk Hogan's got his little deal going on. I'm talking, you know, little deals with them, and, you know, Jimmy Hart, he's taken a really big liking to me, and, you know, we talk probably once every week or 2 weeks on the telephone. He'll call just to check up on me, you know? And
let me ask you this, because, again, there's so much confusion on the internet, kid. How close is Hogan to really getting that promotion off the ground? When do they expect to start? Have you heard from Jimmy?
August the 8th, and hopefully sooner than that, from what I've understand.
Right. Now, they still don't have a TV deal, but he's looking, am I correct?
I can't really I know, but I can't really say right now.
I understand. We won't even press the issue, man.
I can guarantee you that it's going to happen, you know. Pretty much.
I hear you. Have you heard anything about Savage and him starting his own promotion, too? Have you heard anything from him?
Yeah, he's going to do an international thing where he's going to be doing different countries.
I heard his thing is only going to be like a pay-per-view kind of basis, though.
Well, he's going to be running a lot of shows. I mean, yeah, and I think they're going to air it, you know, on pay-per-view, you know, but they're going to be, like, going to, like, you know, Japan and all these other places, England and...
Yeah.
Which is a big market. I mean, hell, anymore, it's like overseas. The fans, you know, there's wrestling's bigger over there anymore, it seems like.
Absolutely. And that's gotten very interesting. And with that, I want to ask you, have you heard anything from overseas, like from Japan or anything like that? Because you definitely fit the Japanese style, and I'm sure people in England would love to see you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get phone calls every week, you know. It's just that I choose for myself, you know, not being, you know, arrogant or anything. I just want to sit here for a while, you know. I got a, you know, 7-year-old son, you know. I mean, so I can't exactly just, you know, get up and go for a couple of months, you know.
It's not easy.
Yeah, so if I want to, I mean, I want to sit here for just a little bit, do the indies, you know, wait it out. You know, if WWF calls me and gives me a job, great. You know, if not, I know I got one, you know, waiting on me in August, you know.
Absolutely.
Big deal. I mean, I just want to, you know, spend time with my kid, you know. I mean, God, I got a beautiful son, and, you know, and he's like my biggest fan, you know, so.
It's the best, man. You're on top of the world with your kids, man.
Yeah.
You know.
That's number one to me than any, you know, more than anything. He's number one before wrestling is, you know.
I mean, hear you.
So there's been a period of time that I haven't been able to see him very often and stuff, you know, because he doesn't live with me. You know, he lives in Virginia and I live in Tennessee, you know,
right.
But I still see him, like, you know, every other week and stuff. But then there's sometimes I don't see him for a month and a half, you know.
Wow.
But I'm taking this time that I got down now, you know, instead of going to, you know, all these other places. If the money's right, I'll go.
I hear
you. No, but I feel in my heart, you know, that I don't, you know, it's like the indies down here.
Right.
Even though I was on TV and even though I did all these pay-per-views and World Television Champion, you know, these people are trying to take advantage of it. You know, they're like, oh, well, we want you on a show, but we'll give you a buck and a half.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, no, that ain't what I work for. I mean, I'm sorry that I used to work for you, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when you was only paying me $100.50, but things have changed.
Right.
You know, and I got more of a name now. Open up a magazine, you know?
Exactly. And that's the thing, you know, you look at guys that are on the indie circuit now, you know, the older guys deserve what they make because of what they meant to the business. But you guys, I mean, just because you're not on TV, you're doing the same job that you were doing when you were on ECW television. And to a lot of promoters, that's got to be worth something.
Oh, yeah. Well, hell, me and just a couple weeks ago, me and Nova were in Peoria, Illinois.
That's right.
And we worked one hell of a match, you know? And there were, like, indie people, promoters there, right? People that I had talked to on the telephone before that show, you know, and was wanting me to come to Missouri and Texas and all this stuff, you know, not wanting to fly me in, not wanting to give me, you know, what I ask, you
right.
know? Wanted to rip me off and stuff, you know, but once they saw me and Nova on an independent show working each other, they flipped out.
How could you not, my friend? Now, you know, I'm not going to put you on the spot. If anybody wants to know where Kid Cash is working, you can get that information right off his website, which is kidcashkindred.com, and it's got a whole listing of his upcoming dates and stuff like that.
This past weekend from Myrtle Beach and Lumberton, North Carolina. This coming weekend, I'm going to be in Bennettsville, South Carolina, and Shallotte, North Carolina.
All right, he got his book out. I appreciate that, my friend.
I had to find it.
I know what you mean. You know, we want to thank you for coming on the show. Now, again, if any promoters, and we have a lot of people in the business that do listen to this show, Kid Cash, if they're interested in contacting you for personal appearances or to wrestle at the indie shows, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
My webmaster.
Okay.
Mistress, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Contact her. There's an email thing on my website. It's not that I'm being an ass or nothing. It's just that, you know, there's so many people that really call that you don't really know who's serious and who's not, you know. So I let her talk to them, and she'll tell them what, you know, what I charge and how much and all that other stuff, you know, and what they need to do. And she'll contact me, you know, and pretty much as soon as they call. So don't worry, if you call, I will get the message.
Well, there you go. Yeah, and obviously she got you the message about us. We, you know, we appreciate it. I know you get a lot of calls to do this stuff. I know you've been, you know, you've been doing some interviews lately, and we're really glad you took the time to spend with the Smack Radio Show, Kid Cash.
Yeah, definitely a pleasure. Anytime.